Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're doing a series here on the Kingdom Parables, and we've been in chapter 13 for quite a while. If you haven't had a chance, maybe this is the first time you're listening, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and go to the messages, sermons, and you could get caught up. But we're finishing up this series on the Kingdom Parables. And I've titled this one, it's going to be a strange title, but Margaritaville or Kingdom of Heaven? Where do you want to live? Psalm 78. Let's jump into the passage, some of the passages today. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Well, we've been spending some time working our way through the 13th chapter of Matthew. I think that this is our seventh week. We have been taking a long walk with Jesus as he's been teaching us the parables of the kingdom of heaven. We've spent time reflecting on what the kingdom of heaven is like, the one sower, the one seed, and the difference between the four soils. We've looked at the weeds among the wheat and the faith of the mustard seed, the yeast kneaded into the dough, and a hidden treasure. I'd like to take a minute to review last week's message of the hidden treasure. Many people would say that these two parables, the one of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, are the same thing. Some would interpret them the same way. Some interpret the passage about the hidden treasure this way. The man who accidentally comes across the hidden treasure is you or me, and the treasure is Christ, and we're the ones who go and sell everything we have to purchase Christ. Well, I want to say again, the major difficulty with this interpretation is that Christ has never been hidden, and nowhere in Scripture can we read that we're able to buy our relationship with Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians these wonderful words, "For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's grace, found in the person and the work of Christ, is a free gift. You, me, we cannot buy it. We cannot be good enough. We don't deserve it. It is a gift of God's grace. Therefore, we cannot be the ones who find this treasure, because we could never sell everything we have to purchase it. We learned last week that this treasure is precious, this treasure is personal, and this treasure is priceless. Remember, Jesus has gathered his disciples in the house now, and he continues to teach them in parables. In the parable of the hidden treasure, we are reminded that the people of Israel were chosen and precious. Jesus wants to show them how precious they are, so precious that his Father would send his one and only Son to purchase them, to buy them back, to redeem them. This story of redemption is what the Bible is about. That's what the Bible is about. God wants to redeem. God wants to buy each and every one of us, everyone listening. He wants to buy us back so that we could be his. Last week, I was sharing with a gentleman outside of my grandson's school. We have become friends over the past few months as he picks up his granddaughter from the same class. He knows that I'm a pastor and that we have started a church. He told me that he was a Jewish man, but that he really didn't attend church. He went on to tell me that his granddaughter has been asking him why they never go to church. I thought that was a good entrance, so I told him that I was teaching about the hidden treasure that Jesus teaches about in the New Testament. I told him that the hidden treasure really was the people of Israel, the Jewish people. He said that the Old Testament was written by Jewish writers. I told him that the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, except for two books, Luke and Acts, were written by Jewish writers. He looked at me somewhat surprised. I went on to tell him that the whole of scriptures were written to draw the hearts of the people back to God. Well, the bell rang, the children came running out, and we went on our separate ways. I look forward to continuing our conversation next week. We were challenged last week with the thought of us being engrafted into the people of God. We are part of this precious treasure. We are a precious treasure of God. We have been purchased with the priceless gift of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Just the thought of that makes me tremble. It gives me holy goosebumps. The so what last week was, how would you live your life differently if you really knew your value? Let me say that again and let it sink in. How would you live your life differently if you really knew your value? You're priceless. You're precious. And God wants to have a personal relationship with you. How did you think about that last week if you were listening? How do you think about that right now? Today, we turn our attention to the parable of the pearl. Let us listen for God's word for us today. And before we do, before we turn to the Lord, let us come to the throne of grace and seek our Heavenly Father's heart, Abba, Father. You are our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer. You have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Once we were not chosen people, or we weren't a precious treasure, but now we are. And we give you all the praise and glory. May your living word fill our hearts and transform our lives. Amen. Well, we're only reading two verses again today. And it's amazing we're going to spend this whole time on two little verses. Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. When you hear the parable, what comes to your mind? Who is the merchant? What is the pearl of great price? What is the cost of this fine, precious pearl? First point is the seeking merchant. Jesus just finished teaching about the hidden treasure, and now he turns his attention to a merchant seeking a precious pearl. In the Hebrew culture, they did not value pearls. They would not be the ones out looking for pearls. The Gentiles, however, loved pearls. People traveled to the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf, and the Indian Ocean to seek precious pearls. Jesus uses the symbol of the pearl in this parable, knowing the pearl was a most precious thing of value to the Gentile people. Did you know that in a 3-ton intake of clams, mussels, and oysters, only 3 or 4 perfect pearls will be found? In 3 tons, did you hear me? In 3 tons of clams, the mussels, and oysters, only 3 or 4 perfect pearls will be found. Remember, if Jesus is the farmer sowing the seed and he's the man finding hidden treasure, well then, Jesus is also the merchant looking for the pearl of great price. What I found most interesting in my work this week as I worked on it in my Greek is the word that is used for seeking. It's zeteo in this sentence. Zeteo is a present active participle. Well, it probably doesn't mean anything to you, but a present active participle means that the action of seeking goes on and on and on and on. The seeking is continuous. The same word is used in the parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep found in Luke 15. The woman who has lost a coin seeks zeteo. She continues to seek for that lost coin. She sweeps her house clean and is overjoyed when she finally finds her lost coin. In the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd leaves the 99 to zeteo. He continues to seek for the one sheep that's lost. Zeteo is used again when Jesus tells Zacchaeus, the tax collector, in Luke 10:19, for the Son of Man came to seek zeteo and save the lost. Continues to seek. Jesus had quite a habit of giving his friends tons of food for thought. He truly was zeteoing them. There's a word, I just made it up, zeteoing. Do you know that God is zeteoing you? He's seeking you because you're a pearl of great price. Jesus is the merchant doing the seeking over and over and over again. Jesus will continually come to tell you that you are precious, that you are priceless, and that he wants to be your personal savior. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus will never stop seeking you. I'm going to pause there, and I tell you never to pause. Jesus will never stop seeking you. Wow. Jesus is looking for you and me. He's looking for all who are lost. That is deep and profound, something to ponder in your heart. The precious pearl. The Greek word for pearl is margaritas. Wow, now that's something, isn't it? Margaritas. Jesus is not talking about Margaritaville. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a precious margaritas. In the Greek, the word margaritas means purity. The purity of the pearl is what the merchant is looking for. The purity of the pearl is what the merchant is looking for. The purity is worth a great price. The value of a pearl is found in its luster, its color, its size, its shape, its flawlessness, its symmetry. The main value is found in its luster, its gloss, its polish, its splendor, its sheen, its shine, its brilliance, its radiance. That's what the merchant's looking for. Many commentators suggest that the pearl of great price is the church. We need only ask ourselves, what other great treasures besides the Jewish people and you and me does God value in the world? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and if you have a prayer concern, you could go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and post your prayer concern. Our prayer team will pray for you. If you need a Bible, you can go email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll mail you a Bible and put God's Word in your hand. We're talking about the pearl of great price. And some scholars think that the pearl is the church. But what else, given in this order? The Lord came to this world, and seeing the church as God sees it, already complete and worth so very much, Jesus gave all he had to attain it. I'm sure that Paul had this very parable in mind when he wrote to the Ephesians. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might present the church to himself as splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that the church might be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25 and 5:27. Why did our Lord choose the symbol of the pearl for the church? Why didn't he use the ruby or the diamond or any other jewel? The answer is that the pearl is the only jewel of value that is a byproduct of living matter. A pearl is the response of an oyster to something that has caused an irritation or an injury. A pearl grows out of hurt. You probably know how a pearl is formed. A little particle of sand or some other irritating substance gets inside the shell of the oyster. It's like cracker crumbs in the bed. The oyster has no way to brush the irritant out, no means of defense except to transform what is injuring it. What an apt and beautiful symbol our Lord has chosen for the church. The response of an oyster to what irritates it is to change it and transform it into something beautiful and valuable and sought after. This is what our Lord is doing. Friends, we are the church. In fact, you can't spell church without you. You get it? C-H-U are the church. We are the precious pearl that Jesus is seeking. Jesus wants to let us know that even in our pain, in our irritation, in our suffering, in our hurt, we are being transformed into a precious pearl of great price. How's your luster these days? How's your brilliance? How's your radiance? How's your shine? How's your sheen? Do you radiate the love of Christ? Do people see this pearl? Christ has seen the church from eternity's point of view. Christ sees the church throughout all her processes of growth and transformation. How exciting that we are involved in a new layering of the pearl. God has called you and me to the church for such a time as this. Now, I want to take a break. I can tell you that many people have been hurt by the church, but it's still precious to God. If you don't have a home church, I encourage you to find a local church and get connected and help that church to have a radiance and a brilliance and a shine. The great price, so what? In his 2010 memoir, A Journey, My Political Life, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair shares this story. So this is Tony Blair's story. A friend of mine whose parents were immigrants, Jews from Europe who came to America in search of safety, told me the story. His parents lived and worked in New York. They were not well off. His father died when he was young. His mother lived on, and in time, my friend succeeded and became wealthy. He often used to offer his mother the chance to travel outside of America. She never did. When eventually she died, they went back to recover the safety deposit box where she kept her jewelry. They found there another box. There was no key. They had to drill it open. They wondered what precious jewel must be inside of it. They lifted the lid. There was wrapping and more wrapping and finally an envelope. Intrigued, they opened it. In the envelope were her U.S. citizenship papers. Nothing more. That was the jewel. More precious to her than any other possession. That was what she treasured most. So my question, what is it that you treasure most? What is it that God treasures most? Why would Christ give up all, not some, not a little, all that he had in order to buy this pearl of great price? The Greek word for buy is the same word that is used to redeem, latruo. Have you ever thought about that? Why would Christ give up all? Not, well, just give up a little or some, but he gave up everything to buy, latruo, to redeem this pearl. In the book of Acts, we're told that it was in the city of Antioch that it was the first time the followers of Christ were called Christianos. Back then, it was used as a form of ridicule. It was a way to make fun of them. It meant, Christianos meant little Christ or followers of Christ. Yet 2,000 years after Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem, over 2 billion people called themselves Christianos. Don't you see? Jesus saw the church from eternity's perspective, and he was willing to pay all in order to redeem it, to ransom it, to buy the pearl of great price. He's sitting with his Jewish friends and followers. They all see the Gentiles seeking pearls. Jesus knows the entire situation. He knows the future. Like a faithful friend and shepherd, he's trying to say, go find that one lost sheep, that one lost brother or sister, and bring them back to the church. The so what question for this week, because, you know, I can tell you these stories and I can tell you that what the pearl is or what the great price is, but do you see the church as the pearl of great price and value? Do you see yourself as the treasured pearl that Christ is seeking, 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 and still seeking after. On Friday, I picked up two of my grandchildren from preschool. I was starving. We had worked out and run errands, and I was hungry, so we stopped at a little restaurant. After eating, we walked out the doors and headed home. "Papa, look, it's those things like at church. Down at our feet, swirling about in the wind, were hundreds of dandelion seeds." My grandchildren call me Papa. And these dandelion seeds were just blowing over, all over the place. No kidding. God knows all. He knows what I'm studying each week before I study it. He knows my present, my past, and my future. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's blowing around your feet. I don't even know where your feet have been. But I know that God is seeking you through Jesus to bring you back to the pearl of great price. Let's just say I needed that reminder. I needed my 5-year-old grandson to see the pearl of great price and to point it out to me. I needed to hear Jesus' word about the church being the pearl. I needed to know that all is not lost. I needed to see those dandelion seeds. You see, if you go to our website, the founders of the seed made the dandelion seed blowing in the wind as our logo. Now, I didn't create that. I'm just their teaching pastor. But they took the seed, and that's the name of the church, and that's the name of the program, the seed of faith. And I needed to see those dandelion seeds swirling around in the dance on the sidewalk, blowing wherever the wind sent them. This parable came to me. Often, when I'm writing, I hear the Holy Spirit whisper, "Okay, that's good, Dave. Now bring it home. Get to the so what. Make my living word valuable to others today." And I think that's what he did for me that day on that sidewalk outside of that restaurant. It was the so what. He said to me, "Keep on seeking, Dave. Keep on searching, Dave. I know it seems crazy. I know there's tons of hurt and sorrow and pain. If only you could see the church from my point of view. She's the pearl of great value." I think of that. You know, I've been a pastor a long time, and I've pastored, I think, 4 or 5 churches. And I know the church is not perfect, but I know the church is God's idea. And maybe you're not going to church because you've been hurt. And I want to encourage you that God is calling you back to the church. I don't know the church that you're going to go to, but see, the church is God's idea. The church is a place where we can all grow in grace. If you haven't found a home church, I know that Jesus is seeking you and seeking you and seeking you because he wants to bring you back to the pearl of great price. The church is the bride of Christ. And that's the question today. Do you know that God is seeking you and bringing you back to the church? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your great love. And we give thanks that you seek us and continue to seek us. And even when we fall down or we run away, you're there for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would turn our hearts back to you and see that we are precious and priceless, and that you would sell everything you have so that we would belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.